Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm still in Toronto with Aaron in Toronto. What's up, Aaron?
Not much. We're here in Toronto. But welcome. Welcome back, or yeah. Welcome here.
Yeah. Every time I've been here before, it was like freezing cold. So now it's like chilly.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. You came at a better time.
Yeah. So we're talking, you know, the season's coming up, if it hasn't come already. But you have some things that you want to get off your chest.
Yeah. So, you know, the preseason, I feel like it came up really fast. And then now it feels like it's been dragging on. And amidst this and like reading like previews and like thinking about the league, I was wondering, and then when you read that, you have your own opinions, right? And so I've come up with some takes that I think are irrational and like pure like hater takes. And I wanted to just talk about those a little bit, and I wanted to see give you an opportunity to also irrationally hate on things that are happening in the league. So my number one is,
you're really getting the season off on a positive
note. Well, yeah, you know, that's what I'm known for. And hey, yeah, I'm not here to like yuck anybody's yum, but there's been so much hype about Wemby, and like I think he's gonna be great. But I like, and this is pure like, this is not like polite. I just like, I don't know if I like watching him. You know, it's like, it's kind of weird. Yeah. Right. He's like too big.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't, this is going to sound like offensive, I think, but it's like unnatural. Like,
sure,
more power to him for, you know, developing the skills that he has. Like, but it just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. Like it's
you don't have to agree.
Like. No, but I mean, I don't necessarily agree, but like there's like, I want to see something different as the years go by, right? Yeah. Like as you get older as a fan, like for the Warriors, you want to see definitely something different from last season, but just in general, you want to see all these different, like we didn't think we would see, honestly, like could you imagine somebody better than Jordan? We saw Kobe, who wasn't as good as Jordan, but he was as close as facsimile. Uh-huh. And then I never thought I'd see someone like LeBron. I never thought I'd see someone like Steph.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing Wembanyama. And I'm very curious. Like, and you know, there were people who were sick of Steph because they didn't want to see the three ball and whatever. Yeah. Oscar Robertson, you know. But you know, and I can see some people like yourself, maybe, like with Wembanyama being like, this just doesn't feel like basketball,
yeah,
like the way that you're used to it. But I think that is in and of itself fascinating. I went to go like watch Scoot Henderson on TV, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, maybe he was, I told you, like, mm-hmm, he might be my pick for Rookie of the Year. But, and then I was watching, I was like, oh man, this Blazers team kind of boring. They're really not good.
Yeah, they're not good.
And the Spurs might not be good either, but like Wembanyama is just that unique that to me, I'm actually starting to look forward to, because I told you I was a little burnt out on the hype, but if he starts delivering, then it's like, yeah, okay, you know?
I mean, I think I said this on the one of the previous episodes I was on recently, like, again, these are irrational takes. I mean, part of it is because he's on the Spurs, right? Like, seriously, it's not right. It's not right. If he was on another team, I think I would be a little bit less of this, have this hater opinion. Okay, so another one, and this is not so much, this is more just in the genre of haterdom, because I'm curious to know what you think the Grizzlies are going to do this year, because I think they're super fascinating. I think they, I think there's been a lot of hype around them. They took an interesting swing, in terms of like getting Marcus Smart, knowing that they needed some coverage for Morant being, suspended for a quarter of the season. I mean, some people are like, they're going to be the top seed in the West. I don't know that I buy it. Do you think that this is going to be the year that they it clicks?
I mean, it really depends on how Ja Morant is after his, 25-game suspension?
Yeah, 25 games.
I don't think with a 25-game suspension that they're going to be the top seed in the West. I think it really is. It rides on him. Is he going to whatever issues that have come up, are those still going to persist? Because that's going to be a huge distraction, and to the point where it's getting kind of old,
mm-hmm.
probably to their team and his teammates. And I remember a couple years ago, they were really good without him, you know? But it's not exactly the same team, right?
No.
Maybe Marcus Smart is. I mean, he is better than Dylan Brooks, of course. But there's a certain thing that they will probably miss not having Dylan Brooks, like that edge, even though Smart is a tough dude. And it's either going to be this year or, like, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I mean, that's why I think it's so interesting. Like, they're at a real, like, turning point.
I think it's going to be done.
Okay. You know? You heard it here first. And my hater take is like, I hope so too.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be done last year. I was like, okay, you can see, like, this is one of those teams that they'll talk about where it was like, it was trending in such a good direction, but then, like, it all just kind of fell apart. And as a Warriors fan, we know what that's like,
yeah,
right? Like Weber Sprewell stuff. So it could stick together, but, you know, I mean, I don't want the Grizzlies to be a great team, but I also want, as just a basketball fan, I want Ja Morant to be in the league and reaching his potential.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm curious to see somebody like that reach his potential at his size and see how long his career can last and watch his game evolve, right? Because he can't do this forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, just see him.
They have volatile players, and, you know, that they're still going to be that, I think. And yeah, it'll be interesting. Okay, my final hater take, and it's not a hater take exactly, but, like, did you, but it was more like, imagine the Nick Young meme all the question marks, like, huh? Did you hear Joel Embiid signed a shoe deal with Skechers?
No. No, it's just, so is that, like, for off the court or on the court? Or
well,
when he's hanging out at, like, middle schools or something?
No, like, I think he and Julius Randle, they signed Skechers. I guess Skechers is making a move into basketball shoes and apparel. I probably should have researched this a little bit more, but my initial take was like, huh? Like, because, like, I was watching TV. I was watching some live sports. I have a 10-year-old. And have you seen the commercial where the people are at the airport and Skechers has these shoes where you can just slide your feet into it, right? So they're coming off the security line and you slide your feet in.
Yeah.
And my 10-year-old was like, ooh, those shoes look great, you know? Like, but, like, so that is very different than, like, a high performance MVP of the league. It's weird.
Wait a second. So your kid, he liked the shoes because he's really just exhausted by TSA?
and he can't be bothered to, like,
he's like, know, I hate taking my shoes off.
He hates putting it takes him forever to put his shoes on. So if he could just slide into it, then
so he's like a as like the he's disgruntled like a 55-year-old man.
Basically, if you knew my kid, then yes,
like my bunions. I don't associate Skechers with sports, so I think that's a hopefully he tried those shoes out, because remember, he missed like 3 years because of a broken foot or something, right? So that is going to be interesting. Julius Randle, like, you know, that's fine. I'd rather wear Antas. Personally, okay. than that.
Andrew Wiggins, Anta. Oh, no, Klay Thompson.
Kevon Looney.
Kevon Looney.
And Anta maybe, was... He's peak.
Peak.
Wiggins right, is right. Peak, yeah.
We got to do that shoe episode again.
You know, I wonder what these shoes are going to look like. Because it's hard to make a good-looking NBA shoe.
Yeah.
So is it going to look like... You know, it reminds me when... I forgot if Joe Montana was retired, but remember when he did like LA Gear?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
He was retired by then.
I don't remember. Or it was towards the end.
Because those were some like
shoes. They were dad shoes.
Yeah, like the terrible shoes. They're like mom shoes. No disrespect to moms. Moms are awesome, but like those shoes were terrible, and those commercials were terrible. So that's a little bit. That's the first thing that I thought of, a high profile athlete wearing like, you know, shoes that should not belong on anywhere near a sports field or sports court.
At the same time, like you know, it's cool to see him taking you know, like somebody like Steph took Under Armour in a certain direction, and then, you know, seeing that happen and going their own way, you respect that a little bit, not just doing the same shoe that everybody else is doing. So we'll see. Hopefully those feet hold up.
All right, you ended not on a non-hater.
Yeah,
note.
See, I have a capacity for
positivity.
Positive, yeah, that's the word.
The season is here, and I just have a couple of questions about the season. What do you think the Warriors' win total will be?
I think they're gonna win 50 games. I think they're going to be 50 games and a number 3 seed.
And what level of health do you think they need to land at number 3? Knowing that a lot of the other teams are competing with in the West have some fragile older players as well.
What level of health do they need?
Yeah, so let's say reasonable health is like, you know, a couple guys are out for a month every now and then.
Okay.
Twice, not like every other month.
I think Steph's going to play, he's going to play between 65 and 70 games.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to find a way to keep Chris Paul upright.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, if they have those two, I think things are going to move along. Yeah, I think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
Look at me being positive.
Yeah, but look at you hem and haw while you're trying to do it. Do you think Chris Paul will still be here after the trade deadline?
Oh.
Tough to say. You have to see how things
play out. I'm going to say yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because I think that they're going to try to ride it out. I think they're going to do well. There would be no reason to trade him mid-season. They're going to see how it goes. And then, but I think they'll trade him after, or let him go after this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a one-year thing.
What scenario would it have to be, you think, for Dunleavy to move him mid-season?
Like some kind of offer you can't refuse? Like some great player on a team is like the team has fallen on hard times and they want to reboot. Mm-hmm. But I can't even think of who that would be, right? That the Warriors would get back and keep them on like a championship contending level this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it would need to be like Chris Paul and Jonathan Kuminga. So who, and some draft picks, right? So mm-hmm. who would be worth it to you for that? You know, like, is it like, yeah, I don't know, right?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
And preferably somebody young-ish too, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, like I was thinking CP and Kuminga would be the trade, because no one is going to just want CP. I mean, I'd have to think about who was out there that'd be worth it, because things would really have to go to hell for them to blow that up.
Yeah.
And it would just, the chemistry, just the mood around the team would have to be so bad. And then it would be bad after, you know what I mean? Like, and what I don't want to keep going back to OG Anunoby, since we're in Canada, or Pascal Siakam. Because every time I hear Pascal Siakam's name, it's like when people talked about Bradley Beal like 4 years ago, and then 3 years ago, and then 2 years ago, and then last year. It's like Bradley Beal, I do not want him. He's not going to make the Warriors better, right? No. So, like, Pascal Siakam is a better fit than Bradley Beal, just, you know, in general. But I would not. I don't want him on the team. Like, I don't want him for Kuminga.
And Kuminga might already be the guy who will be that caliber of player. Like, yeah. and very soon, hopefully starting to show that this year. And, yeah. like, just as, like, good of a fit, and then you can just keep him, right? So I don't see that. And I don't even know if that's the caliber of player that they would, like, can you shoot higher than that? You know, like, as good as he is, like, can you shoot higher than Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't watch many Raptors games, and I don't know how many you get to watch on TV or whatever, but, like, at this point, give me, like, a quick, like, comp between or compare Kuminga and OG Anunoby, because I've seen Pascal Siakam. I haven't seen Anunoby that much the last year or two.
I mean, I would say their games are not that similar. I mean, OG is kind of like a souped up Moses Moody, right? Like
you mean he has, like, athleticism?
Well, like bigger, more athletic, but, you know, that kind of, like, he's a really high level role player, you know? Like, I don't see him as, like, a, you know, as a starting player. Like, he's your at top, he's your B player, right? Mm-hmm, like, he's a complimentary player. He is a really high level 3-and-D. Even, like, somebody like Mikal Bridges, I would put higher than OG, you know? But OG's a huge wing, is really good to, you know, get in there and defend big players like that you need those kind of players. That would be, like, very different players. I mean, Kuminga's more like Siakam than OG.
I can see that. What have you liked from Kuminga in the preseason? Because there's still definitely things that I think if he had more playing time over the last couple of years, he could have worked out some kinks, but he needs those reps and those pictures, as Steve Kerr likes to say.
I like the free throws. There was that game where he wasn't shooting it that well, and he had, what, 15 or 17 free throw attempts? Like, because they don't have anybody who does that, right? Yeah. And if he can do that consistently, and, you know, you're not going to get 17 every night, but if you're talking, like, 7, 8, right? Like, really putting pressure on the rim, like, that, there's so many things that he can offer that they don't have otherwise. So, like, there's such a role for him on this team, you know?
Yeah.
Get the other team, you know, on their heels, get the other team in foul trouble. Like,
yeah.
Like, we need that. And I mean, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope he gets that opportunity, because he should. It's almost obvious, but he didn't in the playoffs. And, you know, I know part of it was his own doing. Mm-hmm. I remember his last minutes against the Kings. He was bad. Turnover, lost assignment, all this stuff. But, like, you know, obviously it's the playoffs, and you have to, if someone's going to make mistakes, you need every possession. So he kind of punished him for it, and he never saw it again. Never, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what's frustrating. Again, I don't know if it's on him, or like if he just soured in practice or behind the scenes after that, or Kerr was just like, no, we're not doing it. But the dude needs he needs to play, because I still see things like on his drives and some of his passing. Like, the feel is getting there, but it's not there yet, right? Yeah. Like, the point forward stuff, okay, he's still a power forward, but he can be a small forward. He can do those things. Because when he drives, sometimes a little predictable. Sometimes it's a little bit too, like, linear, you know, because he can get by on an initial, like, fake off out of, like, triple threat or something like that. And if he gets somebody leaning, like he did to LeBron in LA, he can just go right by him. But, like, once he gets going, can he shift, right? He doesn't really do that. Maybe it's just not who he is. But what he does do is the pump fake, the fade away, the up and under. And that's awesome. That's great. That's how he gets those fouls, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I like the shooting, as we all know, and we've talked about, like, he shot 37% from three last year. And hopefully he just punishes people, because I think this is his opportunity, right? Like, after the failed Wiseman stuff, after kind of resetting, and as you've said before, they still have these young dudes and this almost two time, it's whatever timelines, right? It just makes more sense. And they, you know, it's a perfect opportunity for a young guy like him to come in. I mean, this is like the Kawhi situation, right? Finally, right? Like before it was like, oh, they got Poole. Is he the Kawhi? Like not in terms of his game, but just that bridge piece. Kuminga has that opportunity, and you know, I obviously I hope he takes advantage of it, because I think he can do a lot of things. He just needs to get more reps and get more feel, because he has all the skills. He has the shooting,
he does,
you know, and the athleticism. I keep saying this, but like, who do you think in your Warriors fandom is the most athletic? Because I always say it's Kuminga. I think he's more athletic than Richardson.
Yeah.
I think he's more athletic than Sprewell was.
Yeah.
Also because of his size and his strength.
Yeah.
I mean, Sprewell was 6'5". Richardson was maybe 6'6" at best. Yeah.
I mean, I can't really think of anybody. I mean, like Mikal Petras was very athletic, but I don't. Even that, I don't know. I mean, just in terms of like that springiness, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't really think of anybody who's more athletic.
That's your second Petras reference in two episodes.
Hey, well, you gotta prove.
Is he like your neighbor?
I once believed in him.
All right. So you had your win prediction total. Any other random like predictions on the season? I'm not gonna ask stuff like who's your MVP or who's your, you know, best Warriors player or whatever.
Anything
that you're thinking about this season coming up?
I this might be another hater take, but like, you know, come back to punish me later, but I don't think the Bucks are gonna be as good as people think they are.
That's fair. They're definitely like thinner in terms of how deep their team is, and you know, when you're thinner and you have more holes, things can fall apart quickly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's not bad.
How about you?
I don't think the Celtics are gonna be as good as everybody says, but that's just because I've said this so many times. Jason Tatum is really good, but I don't think he's that dude. So, but I know they added Drew Holiday and Porzingis looks good and all this other stuff. So they'll be good, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I expect someday that Tatum will win a title and that he'll, you know, maybe prove me wrong. Or is it going to be Jaylen Brown that is the one that takes them over the top in the finals because he was much better than Tatum against the Warriors?
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. Other predictions. I think the Warriors will get like, I don't know, I'll say 51 wins. If they are reasonable health, I have them third. If things, you know, are a little bad, I have them in fourth. Things go terrible, fifth. I don't think they'll end up like in one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Nuggets, they're still young and they're going to be kind of riding it for a while. I think the Lakers are the second best team in the West. And I think that after last season, you know, last few seasons where they've been so bad, I think they're going to try to win a bunch of games, you know?
Yeah.
Even if AD and LeBron sit a lot. So, and also the Suns, I think that they're going to try to win some games because I don't know, some of these teams have something to prove. The Warriors, not to me and not probably to themselves, they have nothing to prove in the regular season. They have to prove they can be healthy, and they can prove they can, you know, that Draymond, he needs to kind of prove that he can still, you know, make up for last season, and that Clay can, you know, still get his contract or whatever, and Chris Paul, et cetera, and whatnot. So, you know, I think they're going to be third, assuming regular health.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, but I do have another thing. This will be quick. Yeah. I was thinking about Kuminga and you see Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you know, speaking of Draymond, it's like, there's been a few next Draymonds over the course of Draymond's career, and just curious how you rank the next Draymonds and who are the next Draymonds.
People on the Warriors or in the league, period.
Oh, the Warriors. Like, okay, I'd have to actually do research
on the league. That's a lot of players.
It's more of like a real basketball question.
Right, right. Well, let's see. I mean, it's got to be. I mean, number one's got to be Eric Paschal, right? Like that year they were so bad. Like, remember in the beginning of the season, he had like a breakout game. Draymond was injured, and then like Draymond was so hyped for him afterwards, and like they were like. Do you remember that game?
Yeah. I mean, I remember like reading about it because maybe I didn't watch it. But
yeah.
Okay.
And there's so much hope.
And I guess I should ask you, like, how are you basing these rankings?
The hype, the one that I bought into the hype the most.
Yeah.
so that would be the number one.
Do you think? I mean, it's crazy, right? Because I remember when he and Poole. were drafted and media day, they were like goofing off and, you know, like dancing and stuff like that. And that's all good. But like, can you believe how far Poole has come, regardless of what happened last season? And is Eric Paschal still, he's not in the league, right?
I don't think so.
I'd have to Google that. But
yeah,
it's crazy that like, it was largely because he never developed a decent enough outside shot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how good his defense was.
And I think like maybe failure to grasp concepts and accept coaching. Like they had this whole plan about how to help him shoot and he scrapped it. And you know, in to certain degrees, like, you know, players gotta do what they gotta do. But well, that's what happened to him. But no, yeah. I mean, like, everybody panned the pool pick, and then you know, it turned into something. And then look at Smiley Geach now, like also in that draft. Wow. That was the young Lacobs really taking that light years mantra to heart.
Yeah. That's when I first heard about the young Lacobs, to be honest, because I never caught on, like I wasn't paying attention to the chatter. You know, I was in LA and like everybody, like, you know, my group text friends would be like, Lacob kids, you know. I was like, wait, what's their deal? You know, they're like, Smiley was their pick. And I was like, oh, okay. So, but now I fully understand. It's always funny though, in a draft, it's like, oh yeah, none of these guys are going to be here in a few years.
Yeah. Oh, that was also the draft where, because that was the 2019 draft, right? And that was after, Clay was hurt, KD was gone, and then that was the Bob Myers draft where he was just like, are these guys gonna be any good? I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's up to them. I don't know. Remember that one? He was so like downtrodden.
But he also said that in the Wiseman Nico Mannion draft, where they during the pandemic, where they had their press conference outside of Chase Center. He's like, oh, you know, you just kind of hope that you make the best decision that you can, and you see, you know, you put the best people around them, and then, you know, and like they're sitting next to them. So you know,
you gotta love Bob.
That's the media member. Okay, Bob Myers.
Who else was a future Draymond?
Okay,
or next Draymond?
There's Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
There's and I bring this up because, like, I look at Kuminga, totally different type of player, but. Technically, like, kind of would be playing that Draymond role, right? That's what they need from him. And then also, you can look at someone like Trayce Jackson-Davis, who, when he got drafted, I didn't really know much about him. Every, like, highlight package, I watched, like, a handful, like, a couple, right? But it's like he was very Draymond-esque. Couldn't shoot from outside. He could, you know... pass.
Yeah,
he
dribble play. Hands on.
Yeah, yeah. He could play in the flow of an offense. He seemed like he was a smart ball player. And so, I don't know. I feel like there were more, but those are the only other guys. Those are the four that I can remember.
Well, will any of them... well, hey, also Usman Garuba.
Garuba,
he's
next.
He's next.
He was a Draymond-type player in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He can't shoot either. Yeah.
So his story is yet to be written. I'm really looking forward to him on a two-way, and hopefully, you know, he gets a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
I mean, for the Santa Cruz Warriors, not for the big Warriors. Will any of these next Draymonds reach the height of Jordan Bell? Playoff contributor. Like the pass between the legs.
Yeah, remember that one? Yeah.
It's pretty good.
When Jordan Bell got drafted, do you remember this? It was like he had fallen to the second round. The Warriors took him, and everybody was like, this is when they had KD, right?
Well, they bought the pick.
Yeah, to draft cash consideration.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh my God, they got the next Draymond. Oh my God, this is so unfair. Blah, blah. And he was really good.
He was.
At first, remember there's that clip going around of during a game after a break or a timeout or going into a timeout, he Steve Kerr tells Jordan Bell, like, you're going to be really good, right? But then obviously the immaturity, the candle incident. But I also think, like, he was, and this is just maybe coincidence, but like there was a game against the Bulls where he, I think that's where he sprained his ankle or something. Is that why he was out for a while, was a sprained ankle? And he just never came back the same way. Not saying it was like a terrible sprained ankle, but like he just lost so much momentum from that, and he never really started looking like that dude. He started missing dunks, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not that tall, but he would finish. But maybe the ankle was bugging him. He didn't get as much lift, and he just wasn't like that part of his game started to go away even like really early, and then the rest of his game didn't develop, and obviously the Warriors moved off him. But like there was so much promise with him too. Shout out Patrick McCaw, another guy with promise.
Well, Jordan Bell is he's on that list of like most athletic players that that guy was so fast and so like bouncy. Definitely on that list.
Obviously, Kuminga's head and shoulders above all those guys in terms of like prospects and, you know, potential and whatnot. So, Trace Jackson Davis. I think I'm hoping that in the end it goes Trace Jackson Davis. Sorry, Jonathan Kuminga, Trace Jackson Davis. And then Jordan Bell's a more fascinating story, and then Eric Paschal.
Yeah.
Like and all that stuff. So that's a random categorization and ranking. You heard it here first.
You heard it here. Only here.
No one else is going to talk about this. Tune in. All right, man. Well, thank you for having me in your lovely adopted home.
This is not my house.
No, this is my hotel room.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's not my house.
Anyway.
Yeah. But, glad to have you here in Toronto, and it's fun doing this in person.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It's fun. It's definitely different than doing it on a computer, you know? So my dream is to be able to like have like a dedicated spot and have people come by. But, you know, then you'd have to fly to LA.
Well, next time I'm out.
All right, man. I'll have you on as soon as the season gets going. Aram in Toronto. At Aram Collier. All right, well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors Podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors Podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.